Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I got my Planet Fitness gear on here today, and I am wearing Team Purple. And we've done the Maryland Crab Cake Tour the last week. We've done three excellent shows at Gertrude's, at Costas and Dundalk. Had a beautiful Tuesday afternoon with a bunch of old friends over at Missoni's in Perry Hall. So I hope you enjoy all of that. Everything we're doing getting up on opening day. You're going to hear some old interviews, some new interviews. And I tell you what, I spent some great time with two dear friends of mine. I mean, Marvin Lewis and I, we did 45 minutes talking football. And then I did JT the Brick. We did 35 minutes on Linderbaum and the Raiders and Tom Brady and Max Crosby. And Luke and I spent the weekend talking about Max Crosby. And we're about to talk about Max Crosby not being a Baltimore Raven. Luke, I was wearing my Planet Fitness gear. I was on a yoga mat. Like when I'm working out, I just, I'm not on my phone when I'm working out. I just like, I get off the grid. It's something I like about it. It's one of the things I like a lot about it. And got off the mat and, my wife took one look at me. She's like, well, you're gonna have some work ahead here on Wednesday. So let's take soup to nuts. I mean, you thought it was an April Fool's joke. It's a little early for that, right?
Yeah, and I want to start off because in times like this, and fans are frustrated, ticked, devastated in some circles, and I get all that. But I want to give Jeremiah on Twitter, he's a Ravens fan on Twitter. I don't know him, I've never interacted with him, but he had the line that summed it up perfectly for the Baltimore Ravens in their current state. We really found a way to choke a lead in the offseason. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that is perfect.
Drop the mic. I can go away now.
I mean, it just sums it up perfectly. But yeah, I mean, it was literally 5 to 10 minutes prior to the news that the Raiders had put out this statement that the Ravens had called off the deal, that Patrick Ricard had become the latest to leave and the latest to join the New York Giants. So we send out the WNST text alert on that, and I saw the Raider. Well, I saw, I guess it was Adam Schefter or Rappaporter, one of the national national reporters, putting out that the Raiders had released a statement saying the deal was off. And right away, I'm like, okay, this is a fake Adam Schefter account, right? I mean, we've seen that off and on Twitter and social media
Well,
for
no
15
doubt the
years
night
now.
before free agency opens.
Yeah,
Like that's
yeah.
this is when fake schedules come out and like all
Right,
of that,
right.
right?
So I'm looking, I probably looked at it five different times. I looked at it on my phone, I looked at it on my laptop. I had the text service software still pulled up on my web browser, and then I see directly that the Raiders put it out, and my jaw just dropped. I mean, it's look, we'll get into it. We can remember, I mean, I don't need to tell you, Brock Marion back in 1997. I mean, reporters were literally in the building ready to have a press conference.
I was there.
Yeah. So it's not unprecedented. We remember Ryan Grant back
The
in
door
2000.
never opened, literally.
Yeah, we remember Ryan Grant back in 2018. We remember Michael Brockers in 2020, which I'll give both sides a little more grace on that one, just because the world had shut down. COVID made free agency so bizarre in terms of, you weren't able to take visits, you were meeting guys over the phone or virtually. I mean, Zoom was just becoming a household thing,
I would just
but
say this. In that case, right, that's a misunderstanding. That's an honest
sure.
situation. The issue here, and again, I beat on their integrity
Well, I
harshly. The
go ahead.
question here is whether there's the Ravens really are backing out because they found something, or backing out because they got itchy trigger finger, or somebody inside didn't like something that did like the real reason that this got nixed. And the repercussions of that across salary caps, across roster makeup, across who's available, who's not. That's the part of it from my perspective, not just as a dirtball reporter, one of those journalists, media guys trying to stir it up, get clicks. Something went awry here. And whatever went awry here to insiders feels like less than honest in some way, in whatever way that is, that this isn't the bra this isn't like you can make a case one way or another. In the league, you deal for injured players. Everybody's a little beaten up. You get an evaluation, but for the salary cap and for all of the ramifications of this, to think that they weren't clear on this Friday, and by before the deadline, by the way, they rug it. It's in the gentleman's circle inside the game. It's not cool what happened. Let me just say that. I don't know what happened, but whatever it was, not cool, obviously.
I mean, the optics are bad for all parties because of, and let me start right off the bat. I hear everything you're saying, but I'll also ask the question right off the bat, what do the Ravens stand to gain from this happening? I mean, okay, they could go sign Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson's 2 years older, is coming off of surgery himself, and is not Max Crosby. I think Trey Hendrickson is a really good pass rusher, and he's
That would
been
be
to the Pro
bringing
Bowl and everything.
Clowney in at the end,
But
and he'd be a contributor,
sure,
right? Good contributor, yeah.
I mean, it'd be better than Clowney or Van Noy. Like I don't want to make it sound like I don't think Trey Hendrickson is a
If
heck
he
of a
gets on the
player because he is.
field, if he
But
gets on the field, this other guy, Crosby, never misses games.
well, there's that. But I don't view Trey Hendrickson, and no one around the league is going to view Trey Hendrickson as the kind of force multiplier that Max Crosby we thought was going to be for the Baltimore Ravens. Doesn't play the run particularly well. I'm not saying he's not gonna, be an every down player, but he's not. Put it this
Not an
way,
impact player like
I
that.
understand that they're both 5-time Pro Bowl players. Again, I'm not saying this to be disparaging to Trey Hendrickson. I'm trying to make the point that even if you sit here and say, okay, the Ravens pivot, maybe they sign Trey Hendrickson, and maybe he ends up having a couple really excellent seasons for them. To sit here and say that like this was not a premeditated thing, but
But they get their
something.
draft picks back, though.
They do, but
And they get the salary cap space back. And where's Lamar in all of this as well?
I'm less moved by about the Lamar part
You
because
don't think the cap space would have anything to do with $30 million for that, making that space?
they have to do something with Lamar's contract regardless. They were always going to, unless they weren't going to sign, unless they literally were going to sign John Simpson and no one
Is
else.
there a benefit for them not to announce that when if it's really done? If it's done, as we sit here, they were always going to have to. They sure that we've been talking about that forever. We're sitting here, at the deadline. The fact that there's been no announcement, I have no idea
I
when I,
understand. Well, they
like the
clearly.
way they want to communicate to people like us to communicate to the fans. I have no idea, but because it is shrouded in secrecy, but it is also like not a lot of people understand the salary cap, in regard to taking on $30 million of money when you have a $75 million, like pushing that money around is something that they're intimately familiar with. And the first thing I thought is, is there a hiccup here over getting Lamar's number from 75 down to something that they could work this? That's all. And if I'm wrong, then that's fine too.
They were going to have to do it either way. I mean, whether they were getting Max Crosby or not, they need cap space, and they can restructure his deal. They don't need his blessing to do that. Like a simple restructure. I mean, there are clauses and there are mechanisms built into, especially the bigger contracts where you can automatically do these things. So, look, I'm not saying that in some scenario there's not some kind of trickle down effect where that's a variable, but look, the Ravens have signed John Simpson. They're going to get their draft picks back, and yeah, they'll get $30 million in cap space back. But I'm really struggling to see where this, how this makes the Ravens better if this is something where the Ravens are being nefarious. I think we need to pump the brakes on that. And look, perception that agents are going to have. Agents are pro player. Other t the Raiders are clearly going to be ticked, and I completely understand that, right? That said, the Raiders were a team that nixed a deal with Roger Saffold about a decade ago, and he ended up going back to the St. Louis Rams. Point is, this does happen, right? This does happen. It's happened with the Ravens before. It happens around the league. I don't know how often. Once an off season somewhere, once every other off season somewhere, once. One every 1.5 off season somewhere. Like it's
I
not.
said the Jen Terrell Owens here. That was a
Well, that would
reminder for me because it
sure.
was a
Well,
player of this magnitude,
right. And that's the thing. So fully acknowledging that it happens and it's not unprecedented, It is unprecedented from the standpoint of the magnitude of this player and the magnitude of the terms here. And there's no doubt about the opportunity cost that's considered here with the Raiders, who have spent an obscene amount of money early on in free agency. Now, in the same way that we pointed to Max Crosby's contract being easy for the Ravens to inherit from a cap standpoint, the Raiders very easily can take his $30 million base salary, convert it as much of that as they want into a signing bonus, and it's pretty easy to get Max Crosby back on your cap in addition to everything else you've done. And by the way, Fernando Mendoza ends up being really, really good. I mean, the Raiders could end up being a really interesting team if Max Crosby comes back and is healthy. But let's go
Didn't
back
he say
to,
he didn't want to be there anymore?
I mean,
Okay, I mean that was the premise of him leaving to
he
begin with because he was under
requested,
contract. They didn't need to deal him.
I mean, he requested a trade, yes. But if you also watched his 11-minute video saying goodbye to the Raiders and saying hello to Baltimore, he didn't burn bridges. He didn't go scorched earth on them. And he even said that he still hopes to finish his career with the Raiders one
Well,
day.
he's got that wish, at least for now.
Yeah, I mean, the way it looks, but I think this is where we need to go back to this and kind of look at the very beginning, right? And I think it was the week of the Super Bowl, NFL Network. It was Rappaport. I don't know who wrote the article, but you can go back and find it. I linked it in my article. There was reporting right around the Super Bowl, and as everyone knew, he had a knee issue that he was playing through. The Raiders wanted to shut him down the last couple of weeks. He balked at that. He got ticked. He left the facility. He did not play the last couple games of the season. And then that's when the ball got rolling in terms of him wanting to be traded and wanting to be out.
I didn't ask Brick about this, but was that about him m making more money playing?
No.
Just about him wanting to play,
As
right?
I could be wrong on that. I don't think it was about that. I think it was about the fact that he was hurt, and I think they wanted the first overall pick. And I think I'm not going to sit here and be naive and not think that there were some considerations for number one overall
Well, they
if
do
you're
have
going to shut down.
$100 million into him. Get your knee cleaned up and
Well,
get healthy,
there
right?
absolutely is that factor, right? And this is where I will say, in early January, it was expected he was going to have a knee surgery, for a meniscus injury. And there are basically, and bear with me here, I'm not Dr. David Chow, but I've covered sports long enough that I have some level of familiarity with a lot of sports injuries and football injuries and surgeries that players have.
Now
But
here, Dr. Luke Jones, brought to you by Farnan and Dermer. Go ahead,
when you
Luke.
have but when you have a torn meniscus, in a very general sense, there's kind of two ways that they go about doing that if there's going to be a surgical procedure. You can have a meniscus trim, which literally means they cut out the little portion of the meniscus that's been damaged. That typically constitutes a much more expedited return to play. Players have had meniscus trims and they're fine in a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Guys will have a meniscus trim in season and they're back that season, depending on the timing of the schedule. However, if it's a more substantial tear, they have a meniscus repair. Now, the details of that I'm not very familiar with in terms of like what exactly that involves, but that is a much more substantial recovery. Now, it's not 12 months in the way that you think of an ACL injury, but typically when a player has to have a meniscus repair, even I know Ravens players who had to have that done during training camp. Very often it means you're out for the season. Point is, it's a 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 month recovery. Max Crosby had a meniscus repair. That's been reported. That was reported and was common knowledge. So, point is with that, and now this is where we get into the language and the nuance and the range of opinions that are involved with a physical for a contract for a player. We tend to think of these things as just language that's thrown out there when a team announces a trade, an agreement, right? It always has what at the end? Pending the passing of a physical. The
And I
pass.
would say on Friday, dude's on crutches. Brick was on and said he saw him last week. He's on crutches. If you have any thought about it at all, why the hell are you announcing the trade at 9:30?
Well,
Why
they
don't you
didn't
keep your
announce it.
mouth shut, send your doctor out there, him here, do whatever you need to
Sure.
do. But you didn't need to go announcing a trade if dude's on crutches and you're worried about him.
Right. Well, and this is where I will say, technically speaking, neither side announced a trade, right? It was reported by everyone. Now, who exactly the sources are for those? I mean, you have a player, you have a player agent, and you have two teams, right? And you have one team that's really excited to acquire one of the best defensive players in the league, and you have another team that, albeit is rebuilding and has been lousy for a long time, but they're acquiring the two first round picks that they wanted. They were excited about that. So there is an abundance of people that potentially can leak a deal coming up. But your point's well taken. But to go back to the physical, like a physical isn't a standardized test, right? A physical is something that one of 32 teams has a medical staff. Sometimes they will have other doctors that they solicit feedback from. In the case of Max Crosby, Neil Elitrash, who we just mentioned, who was someone that gave a second opinion on Jordan Westberg's UCL injury. He's widely known. He's based out of California. He's not some quack. If you're anyone who follows sports and sports medicine to even a
The modern
casual
Frank
degree,
Joby and James Andrews,
he's
yes.
one of those. Like you would lump him into that group, right? Into that sphere. So the point is, this was never going to be a physical in the way that you would view a perfectly healthy player, right? Max Crosby was not going to pass a physical in the way that you would clear him to be ready to play a football game on March 12th or March 13th, right? He was still recovering. So
Yeah, he's
there,
going to fail the can you play football test
right.
today, right? No matter what,
So
right?
that's where, I there very clearly in the Ravens assessing this, in if we're putting aside the conspiracy theory, nefarious
I don't
players
mean
are more.
nefarious. I just mean
No, no, I.
like Dak Prescott's girlfriend. I just second
Sure.
thoughts.
No,
Literally second thoughts. That's all.
of
And that
course.
happens all the time.
I
Steve
don't know.
Bisciotti, when he fires coaches, you know what he says? I changed my mind. That's
Sure,
all. You know, like
sure.
literally.
No, and
And they have till 4 o'clock on Wednesday to change their mind, right?
of
Right?
course, not. It literally couldn't become official until 4 p.m. Wednesday. We're probably going to see a couple deals. This happens. This, I would say, happens every year. One or two of the deals that we hear reported on, even over the weekend
Fall
or
through, as they
Monday
say,
or
right?
Tuesday, a player can have a change of heart as well. In that case, when we're talking about a free agent, right? Some Za'Darius Smith, we thought he was on his way back to the Ravens, what, 4 years ago, and it turns out he had a change of heart, and that was also a little bit of remorse on his side, where he kind of heard and looked around and saw some of the other deals that contemporaries, some of his peers were getting,
Eric was ripping him off.
and he kind of felt like, wait, I'm not getting what I could be getting here. So point is, this happens a lot. And to answer questions, the Ravens are completely, even if the Ravens were simply having more of a case of buyer's remorse and they're hiding behind a physical, there's no action to be taken here by the league, right? There's the deal. There was no official deal. There was no signed agreement, right? There was no transaction that took place.
Now, the next time somebody calls Eric DaCosta with a deal, that's where trust. I mean, what I
No
worried about,
doubt.
well, big
There's
trust.
fallout from that. But that said, that's where I look at this thing. The Ravens obviously knew that he had a meniscus repair. But this is also someone, and go Google it right now, how many surgeries Max Crosby's had. He's had surgeries.
One a year, every year.
I remember vividly Buck Showalter years ago, and he was talking about pitchers. And he said, if you go and have an MRI or whatever scan you want to give a pitcher to look at his elbow and his shoulder, if you want to find something, you're absolutely going to find something. So that's where the skepticism does come in. There's no doubt about it. However, what's not to say that the Ravens, when they made the trade, when they have an agreement in place, they're expecting the knee to look a certain way 2 months out from meniscus repair. But then when they get to take a closer look, and he was in town. I mean, you saw on his Instagram. I mean, he was downtown, and you could see he zoomed in on M&T Bank Stadium and all that, right? It's not like he never made it to town, but they do scans, they do testing, they do imaging, and not necessarily that the surgery's botched or anything like that, but they discover that the knee is really degenerative. Or, I mean, he had an ankle injury a couple years ago. He's got an arthritic ankle. What teams, the whole point of having a physical is to protect yourself with those things. So they may have discovered something that said, look, we don't know if this guy's going to have much more than a year or two left. We're not trading like our original expectation of what we thought this was going to look like and what we were comfortable with accepting in terms of risk is not what we're seeing when we're going through this process.
Well, the first question is, will he be ready to play football September 1st?
He should be. And I saw, and this was, oh, it wasn't overnight. It was very early in the morning Wednesday that Adam Schefter got a lengthy statement from Neil Elitrash. And, it wasn't in any way that implied inflammatory, like, that he had this strong opinion about the Ravens being unethical or anything like that. But it said that his recovery is going well. He's on track. Right. I mean, Crosby's agent put out something like that, which you'd expect the agent. I mean, the agent's going to be pro player. We know that. But put something out, which very much indicated that, Max Crosby's on his way to making a full recovery and playing football. But that said, I mean, you're still talking about someone who's 8 weeks out. And let me just read it for you because this is straight from Neil Elitrash, a renowned sports surgeon. To ESPN early Wednesday morning. Max Crosby is doing very well in the early part of his rehab and recovery from surgery to treat a significant meniscus tear and the related.
Significant. That's a big word.
Well, and that's
It's a legal word. I like it.
it is. And that's where I recall at the time of the reporting from Ian Rappaport, and I'm not picking on him. I guarantee someone used this language. They called it a minor meniscus repair. When a meniscus is repaired, as opposed to a trim, like I described a little bit earlier, that's not minor, right? I mean, and then we're getting into semantics, right? But the point is, Neil Elitrash called it a significant meniscus tear and the related stress injury to the bone and cartilage in his knee. He is certainly on track in his planned program. He feels very well and is already much improved compared to before the surgery. We truly respect the work of the Ravens staff with Max regarding the contract physical exam. We also understand the challenge the staff faces when tasked to provide a future risk assessment based on an evaluation early in the recovery process. This is especially challenging when dealing with an elite player like Max, considering the level of commitment necessary for a team to obtain him. In other words, give up two first-round picks. The timing of this assessment is unfortunate because the apparent risk will lessen as his recovery progresses and his return to performance over the next few months becomes clear. At this point, Max is doing an excellent job attacking his rehab, and his knee is responding very well. We look forward to Max returning to his elite level of performance this season as planned and for several more to
Not
come.
his first rodeo with recovery either,
No,
right?
no
Like,
question
dude's in
about it.
recovery for 6 to 8 weeks every offseason. That's being a football player for him, right?
Sure. So that's from Neil Elitrash, who performed the surgery. I'm not sure what
Now,
exactly the
the
takeaway
Ravens
there.
bring him in, they bring him to the hospital, they poke him around up at the facility. When a visit is medical and they come in, what did he go out and have an oyster and he walked
Yeah,
around? They're like,
I mean, he met with the coaches. I mean, he was in the building. They're talking football, but there is the medical side to that. And I think I even mentioned it to you in passing. I know I mentioned it, in the sense of just talking about the fact that this was a risky move to begin with. I wasn't really talking in terms of the surgery itself, but understanding that this guy's going to be 29 years old. You're giving up not just one first round pick for the first time in franchise history, but two. And yes, he was coming off of a knee surgery. And 29 is not a spring chicken when you're talking about someone who plays that
well,
position.
look at
Now,
Micah Parsons had this awful injury, right? Like at the end
sure.
of the year,
And he had a cleaned over helmet.
would
Right.
you
I
take
mean,
him on now? I don't know. You know what I mean? Would you take on, I mean, the Angels took on Grayson Rodriguez after,
sure.
like it is really, it's risk reward.
It is.
And for whatever this is in discussing it as grown-ups here, there's a leap of faith that was caused here with the Ravens that
Sure.
has they've screwed themselves, right? If they're out on Max Crosby, what are they in on? And where are they on money? And they got their draft picks, so maybe they didn't screw themselves, but they don't have a pass rush all of a sudden again. And
Well, and you just said they screwed themselves. I mean, at the very least, even if they had completely, they're completely comfortable with the decision that they had to make based on what they saw, they understand the optics of this and what they look like. and the fallout that can occur, and the lack of trust that can, the lack of trust that could persist then in future trades, not just with the Raiders, but with any team, right? There's fallout to this happening. Whether you have completely pure, legitimate, honest intentions or not, there's absolutely fallout to this happening,
See,
right?
this is,
And
let me be an old man here. Back when Brock Marion happened, the Ravens were perceived as being bumbling idiots, right? They had just arrived in town. Luke, I was at that press conference. It was downstairs in the same room where they introduced Shannon Sharpe a couple of years later. Like, it was a little interview room in the old facility underneath Marvin's office, literally almost underneath Brian's office. What was Ted's office? It was really Matt Simon's office later on, but nonetheless, it was this little interview room, and it didn't happen. And here's the difference with trust. Nobody in Cleveland trusted Kevin Byrne, right? Kevin Byrne came here and couldn't afford to lie to me and Scott Garceau and Bruce Cunningham and Mark Viviano, right? So at that, and the Orioles, 1997, Luke, how do you think the Orioles were doing? Pretty good, right? 4 million. They didn't have enough seats to sell the tickets that they had. And that's where the city was. So the Ravens were trying to build trust. So this is a little sit back and let me be a prick for a minute, because 30 years later, you're now asking me to take a leap of faith with the honor of Eric DaCosta and the organization in totality. Steele, Bisciotti, Sashi Brown, just the decisions they make, the front facing, that if Chad Steele were a real PR person, real PR person, not a bouncer guy with press passes and grudges, but there would be a front face for the organization to have already had a statement on this that would be believable. Trusted by me to sell it on the air, which I can't do anymore because I don't trust them. Trusted by other teams to say, no, the Ravens don't do this. The Ravens don't do business like this. Now, that really makes Max Crosby, they've slimed him, right? They've already slimed him kind of sort of physically, right? For another team to take it on now and tell their fans, we're taking $100 million for a 29-year-old player that's had nine surgeries, blah, 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 all the things we've said. The trust part of this with the franchise, the league, the gamblers, just all of it, we've moved to a point now from Brock Marion to here where, like, I don't know what to believe, but if whatever they say, I can't believe it. I'll only believe what my intellect tells me about knowing all this about agents, the leagues, doctors, the two different everything we've talked about here for 40 minutes. I think it does provide color more so than people calling the fan and yelling and I'm mad as hell and I'm trying to understand it at a big boy level, at a $100 million level, at a we screwed ourselves at a free agency level for the Ravens, out of maybe we wanted to keep Pat Ricard or keep somebody, any of these guys, or Darius, any of these guys. And we looked at it like it's just $30 million of sunk money that we 10% of our cap there. Lamar's going to be 20% of our cap. It's a third of our, and we got Roquan and we got Zay Flowers is coming up next year. We don't have draft picks anymore, So that vibe over the weekend and the knee and the he's on crutches and the we can back out of it. And even if we're bad guys, we're going to back out of it because we don't care about you. We're the Ravens. You know what I mean? We only care about the Ravens. So that, but they've lived their life like that for a long time, And by the way, Ozzie was really unpopular in the circles of negotiation because he was perceived as being a hard ass. Not perceived as lacking integrity, perceived as a hard ass, but not his word was his word. Keep in mind, he was the one guy that sort of winked on the Ray Rice thing and said, I'm not going to lie.
He told the truth, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. So if he's the only guy in the building to this day that I could find who didn't lie, this is a lying. I've called them sleazy. Oh, you have a press pass. I don't, dude. I mean, like, it, this is. This is where they don't get the benefit of the doubt with big trusts. And all of that being said, I don't know if it's nefarious or not. Maybe, I mean, whatever it is, to the letter of the law. They didn't break any rules, right? It's like the press credential form I found from 2017 the other day. You know, like telling you broke the Willy Wonka rules when the rules weren't stated, or this, you know, this is 4 o'clock. It's big boy poker. We pull out. We're done. We're out. And if you don't do business with us anymore, hey, you're the Raiders. We'll slime you. You're the journalist on the Justin Tuck. We'll slime you. So like, there's no. They don't have a conscience in Owings Mills. They just want to win a Super Bowl. And they don't really care about the Raiders or the optics. I mean, literally. So to me, they must have found something medically they didn't
Of
like,
course.
I guess, but it certainly has not been a great plan for the strategy of making the team better by 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So I'll leave it at that. They, you know, when I say they screwed themselves, they get their draft picks back, but they didn't participate in free agency in the full color that. Because of what happened on Friday night, right? I mean,
Yeah,
that.
I mean, and that's what I keep coming back to. Look, I'm not going to defend the organization. I mean, everything you just laid out there is there, right? And people can take that the way they want to, right? As an individual person
And
who
they can
has a,
tell me I don't deserve a press
and
pass,
that,
and you do for saying, for
and
speaking the obvious. I mean, it's insane.
they're going to have an opinion, right? Everyone's going to
I
have an
mean, me
opinion about it.
trust Eric DaCosta? Ha! I mean, like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, so, like, that's like,
I'm hearing you on all that,
yeah. You,
but I come back to this. How does this make them better if this was something that, you know, I don't want to say premeditated would be too strong, but if this was more in the line of like they're trying to pull a fast one, right?
I mean, there
Because
is no fast one to pull. It's
that's what I'm
literally,
saying.
it's
I
this is
mean,
Dak Prescott's girlfriend. There's no fast one. I'm just, I don't want to do it. I don't feel the same way about it that I felt 4 days ago. And like when you charge your credit card, they tell you get 48 hours to
that
like.
but that said but that's also something that ego can be a big part of something like that happening, right? The Ravens have been universally praised for the Maxx Crosby trade. I mean, like, okay, not saying that there hasn't been a stray fan that, you know, every fan base has fans that
You
want to be
and I got up at
miserable.
6 in the morning on Saturday to praise
I
them for the
worked
deal.
all right. I mean, I worked all
Look,
day Saturday. I talked about the
I'm not
fact,
taking those videos down
right?
either. You can go watch all that.
So, but that's where I come back to this. And look, Ryan Grant, that deal was panned instantly. I mean, go back and look at what Ryan Grant's career numbers were compared to what the Ravens wanted to pay him in free agency. There is one where I will absolutely question to the day I go to my grave whether that was really about concerns about his ankle or they were getting killed across the board of why they threw real money at a reserve wide receiver, which is what he was at
Dude,
that
maybe
point.
internally Steve went out and had a bottle of wine on Saturday night and called Eric and said, "I well, we shouldn't be giving those draft picks away." Yeah, like
Hey,
I, you know,
I mean,
that could happen. You know, I mean,
it
I.
could, but I don't know. I look at much more looking at the temperature of this offseason on the heels of firing an 18th year head coach. If you were going to ask me who was more of the driving force to make this deal to begin with, this kind of a deal to begin with, I'd be more inclined to say that Steve Bisciotti was pushing for this kind of a splash. If I'm, and I don't know that, but I'm just saying, like, if we're weighing hypotheticals
So
right now.
I vary between whether he gives a shit or whether he doesn't at this, you know what I mean? Like whether any of this
They
means
were
anything to
down
him.
in they had their summit down in Florida this past week. I mean, like that, so like that
But if
was.
he's on the phone with doctors and Eric DaCosta and they're like, "Steve, we don't feel good about his medical," or, "Hey, Steve, we just, you know, he was in here this weekend and,
Well,
you know."
he was in the building to, like it wasn't over the weekend. He was in the building Tuesday. I mean,
That's what I meant.
yeah,
It
no, I
feels like a
understand.
weekend to
I
me,
know.
but
Oh, no doubt.
it
I've
feels like
had
one
to,
long weekend. Yes.
but I guess I just keep coming back to, look, skepticism is warranted. The optics are bad all the way around. The opportunity cost here is something that I look at and say, you know, if this is something that's more questionable, that's where I look at it and say, let's not, because something happened that's unprecedented. There's a part of the human condition or a part of society that immediately wants to think of more in conspiracy theorist terms. Recently, I was watching a 9/11 documentary that just was going through some of the conspiracies, right? And debunking them and talking about, okay, well, this thing is a fair question, but this not so much, right? But the whole point was they were kind of talking about it from a psychological standpoint. Then when something happens that is completely unexpected, and this was very unexpected on Tuesday night, and I think a lot of people tend, you want an explanation for something that you weren't
That's what
expecting
I
to
mean about
happen.
communicating. When
Sure.
that Brock
Oh, no
Marion
doubt.
thing
No
happened,
doubt.
Kevin Byrne came out, Vito Stellino, Gary Adornado, not Gary Adornado, Gary Lambrecht. I'm telling you, I know the people. I mean,
Sure.
the Washington Post, Bill Gilday was there. Like, I remember the beat writers. Preston was there. And Kevin came out and said, this is what happened. And we reported it. And Ken Rosenthal was beating the Ravens up every day,
Sure.
beating the Angelos up too, but purple Barney uniforms, Modell stole the team, kicking the dogs, all that. But I put it on the radio and I spoke it to be true. And then Kevin Byrne spent another at least a decade before he lied to me. And he had to start lying to me because the new owner kind of mandated that sort of thing when he fired Brian. And, but I mean, I went a good dozen years with Kevin Byrne on the air, off the air, back 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Jamal's arrested. Ray Lewis has got handcuffed. Like, this was not, it wasn't all, let's, have cuckoo nuts down
Sure.
with Edwin Mulitalo in the locker room in Tampa and party with, Steven Tyler. Like, it wasn't that way. There was scandal. There was all of that. So the trust of the media that when Viviano's on the news reading what he believed to be true and Cunningham was saying what he believed to be true, we don't have 9 out of 10 people just making stuff up
Right.
or in fear of whatever they say. And now here we are. They didn't really said anything. And the first thing I said to you when I text you on Tuesday night was, well, this is HIPAA secrecy. We can't talk about it. It's medical, it's an upper body, lower body extremity thing,
Right.
and they can. This is like my dear John Harbaugh, the FU, the fraud you that I wrote to him in my column is. It's sort of like whatever the spin is, get out in front of the spin. But this organization and these people have been involved in spin for a long time, and it wasn't that way. And when something like this happens, I can't open the mic and say that I'd believe anything at this point because they've compromised me to that point. Like if they came out and had a statement, but they're not that kind of an organization anymore for all the above reasons. And you can hide behind it's HIPAA. It was a football decision. It was, whatever it
It was
was.
never an official deal, right? I mean, like,
Yeah. I
there's
mean,
you
we
can
didn't
go down
break
the
any
list.
rules.
Sure.
We're us cheat. Not us. I mean, this was on the up and up, dude. And you can only sell me this is on the up and up so many times after you've lied to me. And that goes back to my childhood and just who I am as a human, as a reporter, in a person that searches for truth. I find it less and less. The truth is, he's not coming here and playing. The truth is, the Raiders are pissed. The truth is, the Ravens have a significant amount of egg on their face. And if Max Crosby never turns out to be a great player again, then this.
Two years from now, they'll look really smart,
They
right? I mean,
will, right?
if he plays 12 games over the next 2 years and he's got an arthritic knee or degenerative knee or whatever, then yeah, they'll
And
look really
we could
smart.
go through a whole litany of baseball injuries from Xavier Hernandez and Angelos' history
The Orioles
and
ended,
the
right, and the
Grant
Orioles,
Balfour and like all of these guys that
but you brought up guys, the Orioles ended up being right on
most of them.
most of them, right? And again,
Aaron Seeley being an exception.
right, but Grant Balfour was one that was a little more. That was what? That was the Buck era. That was 2012, I think it
Do you think
was.
anybody in our audience remembers these people? I often
Yeah,
wonder that.
I
Like, I
think
feel like
so.
you and I know so much about sports, and then I meet
I mean,
people and I don't know what they know or they don't, but I say Aaron Seeley and Xavier
I made a
Hernandez,
Brock.
and it might as
Yeah.
well be talking about Kurt Bleffery at this point, you know?
I made a Brock Marion reference, and there were people who responded to that.
Good,
So
good.
yeah,
Thank you for being
sure.
here, all of you, the
So
educated ones.
yeah, but that said, I mean, that's where, and look, everything you just said about questioning this and not knowing what to believe and missteps and the way they've handled past situations. Look, I'm not going to sit here and push back on that. Where I do look at this though is, a little bit of Occam's razor where, like, what's the most rational, what the most rational explanation tends to be the right one. I think the medicals ended up being way worse than they were anticipating, whether it was the knee, whether it was something else, right? We don't know for sure because, to your point, the Ravens haven't spoken on this. And because of HIPAA, because of the fact that it's another team's player at this point in time, I'm guessing we're not going to hear any too much publicly,
Well,
right?
I
But
know Eric well, and I can think that if I'm sitting on an airplane trapped with Eric and we're talking about this, he would say something to the effect of, We have to look at him like a free agent, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to bring him in like a free agent and we're going to poke and prod. And then he's going to get in his limo and leave and go to the airport. And we're going to turn to our doctors and our football people. And we're going to say, what would we offer him?
Yeah.
What's it? What? This is the Aussie deal, right?
Right.
He's 29, great, great guy, great player. He's worth more money. Is he worth this to us now and the draft picks? Because I kept saying to you, well, they traded Linderbaum for him. It's just money for
And his
money. You're like,
two
yeah,
first
and
round
two number
picks too.
ones.
Yeah.
And, F them picks was not something that this organization has ever
Ever.
done, ever been comfortable with. And there unto itself is the bachelor who's left the bride at the altar a dozen times,
Sure.
sleeping on it over the weekend, and then waking up and saying, I don't like giving up picks, and this guy's hurt, and he's 30, and we're getting two 23-year-olds, and I'm still going to be the general manager here 3 years from now, and Hendrickson's out there, and we're going to look bad, and Nestor's going to go on the radio and call us sleazy and all that, but we're out. We're just there. Because, and Eric, and this is me being Eric here for a second, because if he came in and he was a free agent, we'd be excited about having Max Crosby get after the quarterback, and then we would be rational about we're trading two number ones for this. If we were just signing him for the money, would we give him the money? Do we believe he's going to get on the field? Do we believe he's going to play at a $30 million level? Do we like the person? I mean, I don't think there's anything about that. I mean, there's a guy there that if he had one gin and tonic on the flight in and he peed, they could look at that and say, we're out. Like, because he says he doesn't drink, right? So I'm just saying, like, there's all, and they'll never say that. So, like, there's all sorts of things. He got in the building and cried about the Raiders and really didn't like it here so much and said to them, like, there's all sort that probably didn't happen, but maybe he didn't want to come here either. Maybe from the minute he got there, it didn't feel right. I mean, I thought I was going to adopt two cats 8 years ago. I adopted a different cat. And I don't feel guilty about it. And neither does Eric DaCosta, by the way. But I keep thinking if they brought him in and they were going to give him free agent money, would they do it? And they would have a number on it. They would have a price on it and say, this is the value of this football. That's what they do with everybody. They have the science for all that. I mean, that's Eric's thing, right? And then the two number one draft picks, which is an off the chart value giveaway that we've never discussed because they ain't even ever thought about giving up two number ones for anybody, let alone a contract, let a guy that shows up out there on crutches. That's
No
all.
doubt, no doubt. And that's fair to point that out, but I will say there were quite a few dopamine hits over the weekend, though, with how much praise they were getting, with how excited this fan base was, right? I mean, this was
Yeah,
not a
even if
deal.
they're wrong, go through with it because it
Right.
looks good.
I mean, this is why I was saying, that's why I tried to make the comparison with Ryan Grant. And by the way, like Ryan Grant did have ankle issues over the next year or two. I mean, he wasn't a very good player to begin with. That's why I said, like, that deal from Jump Street made zero sense to me. It's one of the
If
few.
Eric could have woken up the morning after Earl Thomas or Marcus Williams, and that's, dude, I just gave, I just, we're an hour into this, but like, Eric signed deals that he later regretted of this magnitude. And if
Sure.
he has any, I can hear Steve in the middle of the night, Eric, if you have any, that little piece of doubt down there in your
Yeah.
belly, if it's a $30 million, but it's 10% of our cap, this is your few. This is, we're either going to
It's
win the
two
Super
first round
Bowl with this
picks.
deal or we're not. This is a big, big, if you have even a modicum of doubt. And this is where Eric, if they were honest and I had a relationship, he would have been texting me last night saying, Ness, when you open the microphone with Luke, here's how I really feel. And I could trust that. And I couldn't until Chad Steele breached that relationship and wrecked it for me. But that used to be the relationship I had with
Right.
Eric. He lied to me about Martay Jenkins in 1998 or 1999 about them drafting him. And we laughed about it forever. It's in all my Pearl Jam letter. But he used to. And you know this, dude. You've been here a long time. Eric DaCosta used to text. Eric DaCosta helped me write Purple Rain, too. So getting Steve didn't like that so much. Eric used to provide insight so that I could provide it to the fans,
Sure.
and Kevin Byrne would provide insight that I could provide to the fans. And there was a point where I even trusted Harbaugh to involve him to make sure that we were all singing the same song, make sure they weren't lying to me, because I'm a reporter and I get sources and I back them up and I have to trust people, big trust. And so does 31 other general managers in dealing
Sure.
with Eric DaCosta.
And many more agents, right? I mean, agents are looking at this too. This wasn't a signing, it was a trade. But
If an
agents are.
agent called me and said, can you trust Eric DaCosta? I would say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's what I would say. Can you trust the Baltimore Ravens? No. Nah. Ask Justin Tucker's massage. Like, so therefore, whatever they say, we'll parrot it, we'll say it, whatever. And to your point, Crosby will go play in Dallas or he'll go play in Vegas. He's going to play. He's probably going to play well for a period of time. And there will be a time in week eight when he has four sacks and poor Jesse Minter's getting his ass kicked or something, and Lamar's hurt or whatever, and we'll say, we wish we had him or not. And that's sports. I mean, because we can go back on Aaron Seeley, on Brock Marion, to your point on Ryan Grant. You know, like, we can go through all of these names and all of these people. There will be a history of this moving forward as to how all of this goes. But Eric, in that circle of doing business, this is really,
Oh, it doesn't look good. I mean,
it's
like I
bad
said,
for family business. It really is.
it is, and that's not, it's not to be like fatalistic that they're going to be doomed moving forward because of it. But when things like this happen, yeah, other teams don't trust as much. Other teams are more reluctant, right? Like I said, even if the Ravens did everything right here, even if you want to buy, take it at face value that they looked at the knee, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. It wasn't what they were initially projecting. Maybe they found something with his ankle too. Maybe they found something with his shoulder. I mean, like I said, he's a football player who's played football his whole life, right? The injury rate's 100% for the longer you play the game, the injury rate's 100%. We talked
He
about
was
that
ready to
each.
go out there and play with one leg in week 17,
Sure.
right?
So yes, you can find things if you want, but that said, that doesn't mean that that's what happened here. It very well could be exactly what the simplest explanation would be, which is their medicals were, his medicals ended up being way worse than they thought it was going to be. And they decided they couldn't go through, and that's their right. David Chow, I saw he did a little, he did a little video on social media late Tuesday night. He compared it to when you're buying a house. You buy a house, it goes into escrow, right? Whether it's
Find termites, you go home.
Yeah, something with the foundation, so it, and it can be something little. Like, it doesn't have to be like the foundation is doomed, right? It doesn't have to be that that it's, some major thing. It could be something relatively minor and you can walk out of it. And you know what happens? The homeowner, the one that's trying to sell,
Is pissed.
they're ticked
Yeah.
because especially depending on the time, the home was off the market for X number of days. Depending on the timing, it could take families that have kids in school, depending on the timing of the calendar. So it
Well, there are a
happens.
lot of unintended consequences of this that I
No
haven't
doubt.
even fully
Oh,
processed
right. I
yet.
mean, we look at it in terms of like, okay, well, maybe they pivot to Trey Hendrickson, but like, what other moves could the Ravens have made if the Max Crosby thing was never happening,
Well, the
right?
other part of this is Lamar pivoting into this as to what the real cap number is and what their
Sure. Well,
what
and
their
how they get
tolerance would
there.
be for bringing in new players.
How they get there, sure, right. I mean, they're going to, whether it's a new contract or whether it's a restructure, they're going to clear space. They have to. I guess technically now they don't, they would be under the cap to start the new league year technically, but assuming they're going to make some moves at some point, right, they're going to need cap space. But yeah, I mean, you question everything. And I saw some people say, well, the Ravens lost nine free agents. I'm guessing that list wouldn't have changed very much. But I don't know. If you're not bringing in Max Crosby, do you say, well, we'll give Ardarius Washington $3 million to come back, or we'll give Charlie Kohler $8 million a year to stay? So could there have been a couple moves from that list
Well,
of
Pat
guys
Ricard
departing?
was always going to the Giants. I made
Yeah,
book on that, dog.
well, and apparently I saw one of the Giants reporters even said that the Ravens weren't really in on that. It was actually the Browns. Monken was trying to bring them to Cleveland. So you have that as well. So point is, I don't. Let me say this. Do I think if the Crosby deal is never agreed upon, does that mean the Ravens are giving Tyler Linderbaum $26 million or $25 million to stay? I don't think so, right? I mean, I think the Raiders probably, yes, they've made eight or nine signings or whatever it is, or agreements, right? Because signings don't become official until 4 p.m. Wednesday, right? But it's clear that Linderbaum was their priority, and they could have done that even with Max Crosby, right? And they will. I mean, they'll, at this point, it looks like Crosby's going to stay
And the
because,
Ravens are fine with that. The Ravens weren't going to give Linderbaum
and
$27
that's my
million.
point. Like, so I want to be clear what we're talking about here.
And
If the
all of a
Cros
sudden, we got our draft picks back. So, you know,
do, I mean,
so much for
look,
your free meal on draft night. You get that
yeah,
extra
right.
work.
Yeah,
They're
14th
going to
over.
pick at 9:15.
Well, I prefer that to 11:15, right? I mean, I'll take the earlier pick. But yeah, but there is an opportunity cost at work here, right? What else could you have possibly done over these first couple of days? Could you have been in a bigger market at guard than John Simpson, for example, right? Could you have gone out and signed someone better for more money? Could you have been in the market for, I don't know, maybe there was a wide receiver they wanted to bring in to kind of replace DeAndre Hopkins, and then maybe they're trading Rashad Bateman, right? I mean, there's all kinds of different scenarios here. Let me be clear. There are ways that the Ravens can salvage this offseason. As I said, they turn around if, and you know, apologies if people are listening to this in real time and Trey Hendrickson has found a job elsewhere, but I'm just going to use him as an example of someone who is still out there or was as of very early Wednesday morning. You know, if they do that, then no, he's not Max Crosby, but they do that. And assuming he's not getting quite as much money as Max Crosby, which is an assumption at this point, sounds like part of the issue for Hendrickson has been the market hasn't been as hot for him as he had hoped it would be over the first couple of days. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, they're going to have their first round picks back. That said, this is where I go back to even if we want to entertain the idea of this being a cold feet scenario or a buyer's remorse scenario, that's where I look at this thing and say, man, your fan base is crushed by this. Your fan base is ticked by this. Your fan base is really disappointed by this. And that's why I said, in terms of, you know, your scenario of, you know, Dak Prescott and his fiance breaking it off, right, and getting cold feet, the Ravens were getting universally praised. I mean, all you heard, even 2 days into
And
it.
now they're getting universally beaten up because they
Sure.
backed out of it. And to
So,
your point, it's
and
going to
who
take 2 years
knows?
to know whether Max
We won't.
Crosby's any good or not.
We
And
don't
either
know.
way, the 14th pick will be out running around on the field. And we'll be like, oh, we got a guard, we got a center, whatever, you know, whatever they're going to get, right?
We'll be scrutinizing that player. We'll be scrutinizing who they take next year in the first round, right? We'll be scrutinizing what they do with that $30 million. We'll be scrutinizing everything Max Crosby does, assuming whether he's with the Raiders or whether the Cowboys reignite trade talks. I mean,
Dude, this stuff happened. Remember when Minnesota
crazy.
didn't go out and put the pick in? We wound up with Suggs.
And that turned out pretty well. And I say that as someone who absolutely wanted Byron Leftwich. So sometimes the best deals you can make are the ones you don't make, right? I mean, if that makes sense. So
Well, and that's what that
we're
would
going to
be
find
Eric
out.
selling you. That's what he's going to say when he's in front of
Well,
you out
and
there
hey,
selling it.
we're presenting all sides to this, right? I will
I
say
think we
that,
did. I think we were
and
very fair in all of this.
I'll continue to say, regardless, if even if the Ravens had full integrity in how they handled this, full good intentions, and if that's the case, they feel horrible right now. They feel absolutely sick right now because of everything I just mentioned, as far as the perception, the opportunity cost, what else you could have done, what this means. I mean, even if you want to try to sign Trey Hendrickson, by the way, his agent's looking at this and saying, well, Baltimore,
Is a deal with you,
they're,
Eric? When I shake hands with you, is
well,
a
there's
deal a
that,
deal?
but there's also,
Are we on the up and up?
you guys are really desperate right now, aren't you? Right? The cost yesterday isn't what it is today. Right? Two can play that game. So point is, look, this is a lousy development. And whether the Ravens had purest intentions and honest intentions and all that, or if it was something that was a little more the buyer's remorse, cold feet, all the different scenarios you
Which
want to
they're
run through
allowed
your
to
head,
do, right?
which technically they're allowed to do, this is still something that, from an optics standpoint, it makes everyone look bad, right? It makes everyone look bad. I mean,
They do a
they're
lot of things that are optically not
so.
great, and just in a general sense. And I they don't care about optics. They just don't. They don't. If they thought that
They
he was
don't,
going to help
but
them win, I guess they'd have him. And if whatever second thought is, doesn't matter what the second thought is. It's business, baby. You
I
know.
agree with you, but they also recognize, though, that it's generally not good business to be in a position then when the 31 other teams aren't going to trust you as much as they did 4 days ago and aren't going to be as eager to deal with you as they might have been 4 days ago. And the same goes for agents too. So look, this doesn't mean they're doomed. This doesn't mean the franchise is going to be ruined moving forward. But I mean, dude, we were you and you know me, I'm not
I
Mr.
called him a
Hyperbole.
Super Bowl favorite.
I mean, this is a devastating thing to happen on so many different levels, beginning with the fact that we thought the Ravens were acquiring a Hall of Fame player. They're not now. If they get Trey Hendrickson, then hey, that ends up being a really nice consolation prize. And who knows, maybe he ends up being better, even though he's 2 years older and not as good against the run if Max Crosby's career is in major decline. But man,
If you're on the WNST text service, you
hurts.
get it first, right?
You will. We will still be busy. They will make other moves, whether it's Trey Hendrickson or others that aren't as the same household names. But I think at this point, if someone asked me late Tuesday night whether they could still do a revival, that ship sailed. I think the Raiders are done with the Baltimore Ravens as it pertains to Max Crosby.
Based on the statement that when I got off the yoga
That
mat
was
the other
pretty
night, sir.
evident.
My thanks to my friends at Planet Fitness for trying to keep me healthy here. Luke is holding down the fort. If you're on the WNST tech service, you'll get it first. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole and I had a great conversation. He joined me at Missoni's over in Perry Hall. Just had a great time at Missoni's. Caught up with some old friends. We were at Costas. We were at Gertrude's. You'll hear it all this week. For those of you holding tickets for the Dan Roderick show, you're going to love it. Dude, if I can get you tickets for the Roderick show, you should go this weekend because it's that good. And it's got a baseball theme too. It's got a Baltimore theme. You'll love it. There's even Brooks and Frank are in it. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Cancel the Max Crosby jerseys. He ain't coming here.